The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Well, after a long hiatus, welcome back to the Sports Media Watch podcast. I'm your host, John Lewis, joined by my new co-host, Armand Brody, who you might have read on the site a few times. Armand is someone with a deep well of knowledge about the sports media industry and its practitioners, and an aficionado much in the same way that I am. So I'm looking forward to discussing with him the ins and outs of the industry going forward. But first, why don't we go ahead and recap some of what's been going on lately. We're not going to go all the way back to October, which was the last time this podcast had a new episode, but some of the things going on recently. There is, of course, the very sordid Fox Sports lawsuit. We're not going to really get into that. It's very sordid and just really not the wheelhouse of this podcast, but that is something that's going on. And you really think about what's going on at Fox in terms of the culture there. We know the culture of Fox News. We haven't necessarily known that that was the culture of Fox Sports, but again, you know, we don't really know anything with that. But that is something certainly that is in the news, more to the topic that we cover generally on this podcast, sports media. Diamond Sports Group finally exited bankruptcy last week. They are now under the name Main Street Sports Group. That saga appears to at least have reached a level of stability. And of course, the biggest news in the media sphere this week, Disney and Fubo, their merger that is going to basically mark the end of the legal challenge to Venue. We'll talk a little bit about this because it is pretty important. The reality is that I don't necessarily know why this legal matter would necessarily prevent anybody else from filing a similar suit, but certainly it removes an immediate obstacle to the launch of Venue, the joint venture of ESPN or Disney, Fox Corporation, and Warner Brothers Discovery. But the main topic of the podcast today is going to be the ratings for the National Football League. Week 18 in the books, we're heading into the postseason. And viewership actually declined for most of the networks this year. So that's going to be where we begin our discussion. And at this point, I will bring in Armand. Armand, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be with you. As you said a bit ago, longtime lover of all things sports media and play-by-play folks and analysts and the business folks, and I'm in love with all those great things that make sports media so exciting, particularly on television. So privileged to be with you. Very excited about the opportunity to be on this Sports Media Watch podcast journey with you.
All right. And why don't we just jump right into the ratings talk? You know, the National Football League, it's a big colossus of sports business. We all know that. But even the NFL is subject to the same things that are going on everywhere else in television. And obviously, they're subject to the same things that other leagues are subject to on the field. For example, the Cowboys weren't good this year. Well, if the Cowboys aren't good, your ratings might decline. And certainly Fox, which had its least watch season since 2020, you can bring in all the 7-time Super Bowl champions you want. If the Cowboys aren't good, you're going to have a 5-year low. And that's what Fox had this season. Or I guess a 4-year low. Let me not forget, 2025 just started. But, you know, the most interesting thing to me, this is the second straight year that CBS has outdrawn Fox, both overall and for that national window. America's Game of the Week. Fox likes to call their national window America's Game of the Week. Well, America's Game of the Week is airing on CBS. They beat Fox for the second straight year and had the most watched window in all of the NFL for that late doubleheader window. What does that say to you about the AFC and the rise of the Chiefs and the rise of the Bills and the way that, you know, that kind of forgettable CBS window for a lot of years, that was kind of the low stakes window, has become really the NFL game window of note?
Well, think about it. I mean, not only do you have Kansas City as a team and Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for whatever that is worth, you've got Mahomes, you've got Allen, you've got Lamar, you've got Burrow to a lesser degree, you've got quarterbacks like Justin Herbert in Los Angeles. So I think it says that there is a lot of intrigue with the AFC because you have great quarterback play there. And to your point about what's happening with Dallas, I believe 2020, Dallas also had a bad year that year as well. So it's hard to argue against the fact that there is a direct relationship between the ratings, especially for Fox in that 425 window. I mean, let's face it, Tom Brady was doing Dallas games, it seemed like every week in September to get his broadcasting career started. When the Cowboys are good, Fox is going to be most appreciative because that's where most of Dallas's games are going to be. But even the fact that a late season game, Dallas and Philadelphia, this heated rivalry, you get that game being flexed from 4:25 to 1 p.m. in favor of a clearly more competitive game in Green Bay, Minnesota, it speaks to just how bad Dallas was this year. But Dallas wasn't just bad, John. They were irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the thing that really made the situation interesting. No Dak for a while, no Micah Parsons. Hard to be interested in a Dallas team that has Cooper Rush as your starting quarterback. But I think it speaks more so to just how important Kansas City is from a television standpoint. They put them on Netflix this year on Christmas, and they put them on Amazon Prime on Black Friday. It says a lot about the trust that the NFL has in Kansas City as a television brand and product.
Yeah, and I mean, the reality of the matter is that the Chiefs, the Bills, I mean, that's a 1-2 punch that's pretty formidable. And these are two teams that were completely irrelevant. You want to talk about irrelevant. The Chiefs, before Mahomes, were a ratings drag. Every time you'd see them in a national window, you knew it was going to underperform because they weren't an interesting team. And then Mahomes comes along, they become really America's team, at least present day. When the Cowboys max out, they're America's team. It's a little bit like soccer, right? We all know if the men's national team is ever great, they're going to set the ratings at an all-time record high that we've never seen before. But they're not great, and they're not going to be great. So we know that the women's team, well, they actually are setting the ratings records. It's not a hypothetical with them. So with the Cowboys, when the Cowboys get back to being great, they'll be America's team again. But for now, the Chiefs are America's team. And you could argue that the Lions might be in that conversation as well. I talked about the Bills, but it was the Lions who were in the most watched game on 4 different networks this season. NBC is a bit of an asterisk because they like to do their little Adobe Analytics thing. They, you know, at NBC, their standard position is that the Nielsen rating isn't, you know, it's not the actual number. Like, they won't even engage with you about the Nielsen-only rating. It's all about their total audience delivery, which, by the way, was up this season, even though their Nielsen viewership was down. By that metric, the top game on NBC was Ravens-Chiefs on opening night. But on a Nielsen-only metric, the Lions played in NBC's top game. That was this past Sunday in Week 18. And they played in the top game on ESPN Week 17. Top game on CBS Thanksgiving, goes without saying Thanksgiving, obviously. And the top game on Prime, which was against the Packers. So Detroit might have an argument. And, you know, the Chiefs this year were very odd, right? You know, you can see some vulnerabilities. They might not be in that Super Bowl in February. But if the Lions are there, you might not necessarily miss the Chiefs as much as you might ordinarily think.
I think the other thing the Lions give the league is a great story. It's far different, but it does in some ways remind me of the 2016 Chicago Cubs, in that how many great stories are there left of teams who have been just lovable losers, fan bases who have struggled and labored and wept
and just gone through misery and anguish and heartache and heartbreak. And to see a Detroit Lions team that has been known for just being absolute garbage, even in Barry Sanders' best years and Scott Mitchell in the 90s and so on and so forth, never been a powerhouse team. Their story has given, I think, the league and fans something to rally around. And I think that's also drawn some eyeballs as well. It's a great story.
Yeah. And again, they have been a draw this year for certain. But let's talk about the announcer side of it. We talked about Brady before. No announcer is going to outweigh a team like the Cowboys being bad. But Fox brought on Brady for a reason. They clearly must have thought that Tom Brady by himself would bring in viewers. They were dead wrong. And of course they were. It's an absurd thought. No one has ever tuned into a game for an announcer, right? They didn't do it for Madden. They didn't do it for Dennis Miller. And they didn't do it for Tom Brady. But Brady now has the biggest audiences that will ever watch him do a game for the next month. First, it's going to be probably about 40 million for Packers-Eagles on Sunday. Then the following Sunday, depends on what window Fox gets. But then you get to the NFC title game in 2 weeks, and then obviously the Super Bowl. He's not good enough for any of those roles, in my view, but I would be curious to know what your thoughts are about Brady's progress throughout the year. I personally think he's a perfectly fine announcer for a C or D or E or F team. For the A team, he's obviously completely unfit for the role, but your thoughts?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with you there, John. It's a matter of star power versus perhaps just pure talent for the industry and for the field and for the booth. Compare Brady in week 17, week 18 to Tom Brady in week 1. Clear differences. But it just throughout the course of the year felt like he was a guy trying to be a broadcaster. And broadcasting is weird because there is a lot of be yourself and there's this naturalness to it. But at the same time, there is a bit of performance that's a part of it. You sort of have to become a different version of yourself in some ways. You have to embrace the performance side of it. And some of Brady's moments, they just seem so awkward. There was the hand pound to Mike Pereira that wasn't. There was the gaffe he had in the Green Bay Minnesota game where he forgot what game he was referring to in the open. And just that flow of conversation, you can hear Kevin Burkhardt really having to pull really, really hard to get the most out of Tom Brady from a conversation standpoint. It's a guy who, as you said, is probably best served on that team with a Kenny Albert or an Adam Amin, but just not ready for that top spot yet. But he's got it because he's Tom Brady. I'll be curious to hear how he sounds in the playoffs. I think he's going to be a little nervous. I think he's going to sort of hear and feel the importance, the weight of the activity that's going to be around him, the eyeballs that are going to be on him. And I think what we've heard from Brady in the regular season is pretty much what we're going to hear in the postseason. He'll have his moments where he says something really, really great, something really sharp, but he's also going to have those moments where you don't feel like he's a natural. It doesn't come naturally to him. And I think that's probably my biggest takeaway throughout the course of the season.
I mean, you're exactly right. And the awkwardness, the George Bush moment, fool me once, shame on you, right? I mean, that happened to Tom Brady on the air. He's not doing it because he wants to be an announcer. He's doing it because Fox foolishly paid him $38 million a year. And you can't make someone do something well if they don't really want to do it. So that's the biggest problem that they have. And we'll see how Brady performs, but I'm not expecting it to be some kind of major improvement. Remember, Fox has zero Super Bowls again until 2029. We'll have a new president the next time Fox does the Super Bowl after this year. So this is the last one for a little bit. I don't think it'll be Brady again in 4 years' time.
Nor do I, but I was listening to Greg Olson do an interview, and they were asking him about Green Bay, Philadelphia, and he broke the game down maybe in 45 or so seconds. Concise, easy to follow, obvious passion, obvious emotion. you don't feel like Olsen is trying to be something that he's not. There's such a natural flow, and communication is so obvious and so clear with him. He has such a grasp of the rules and sees things from that tight end perspective, from both offensive line play as well as, you know, receivers and what's happening on the perimeter. But it's just natural. And I think there is a part of that that you can't pay for it. You can't buy that. It just kind of has to be there. And then as you become more ingrained within the industry, the skills that are there, they become seasoned and polished. And I just don't think Brady naturally has that. And those are the observations that I think we've been making throughout the course of the year.
No, you're absolutely right. It makes you wonder why Fox didn't just work with Olsen and Brady in a three-man booth. They do sound very similar, so that obviously would have been a bit of a problem. But you look at when NBC brought in Magic Johnson on the NBA, Magic was a complete novice, had really no natural skill for broadcasting, certainly at a game analyst level. They put him with Mike Fratello on the NBA Finals. Similarly, Isaiah Thomas a few years later, very green on TV. He's a lot better now, but back then, very green. They put him with Doug Collins. You have to have that third person who might have been perfect for it. Obviously, Olsen, but they do sound similar, as I said. If they still had Charles Davis or even on their own depth chart, Darryl Johnston would have been good to put there. You got to have that third person there to kind of be the training wheels, but they chose to go the way they did.
You know where Brady's been at his best to me? It's in the segments when he's been with Gronk and Julian Edelman on the pregame show. There's that conversation they had about Bill Belichick going to North Carolina, and Brady had this really humorous moment where he was basically mocking Bill Belichick, talking about how uninterested Belichick would be in these players and how much of a joy and a privilege the players would have of playing for North Carolina. But like, that was where I saw Brady sort of, it just felt more natural when he was with his guys he's played with, he's worked with for many, many years, won championships with. That was Tom Brady at his best, not in the booth out there on an island.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's shift to some of the other topics in the industry. Quick hit on the NBA's ratings. Everybody knows all of the overheated rhetoric about the NBA's ratings over the first half of the season. Obviously, the Christmas Day slate has helped calm a lot of that, because the NBA made up nearly all of its decline on ABC, ESPN, and TNT on Christmas Day alone. But I still expect viewership to remain down for the season, because it's just not necessarily been a great season so far. But, you know, we're taping Wednesday, January 8th. Interesting viewership figure tonight will be Cavaliers and Thunder, two teams with incredibly strong records. And we'll put the angry fan to the test. Oh, I can't stand watching LeBron and Steph. They're so old. Oh, no one shoots well. Everyone plays bad basketball. Well, here are the Cavaliers and Thunder, the two best teams in the league, playing, for the most part, excellent basketball. Not necessarily two teams that are, you know, slaves to the three-point shot, although everyone shoots a lot of threes. So we'll see. I mean, I don't expect it to do dramatically well, but that'll certainly be a test of people's intentions with viewership this season.
One of the things that stands out to me when it comes to the NBA ratings is the three faces of your league. I think most people would agree. They did that interview on Christmas Day on ESPN, LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. It's rare, at least from my experiences, that the three faces of your league are all on bad to average teams. The Lakers are not good. The Suns are not good. The Warriors are not good. And I think that can't be overlooked. Now, granted, there are other things at play. I just think that there's sort of this natural placement for Christmas Day that really sort of triggers to the minds of many that it's time for the NBA. I still think that the NBA is sort of a dormant volcano until Christmas Day. You know it's there. It's like background music or elevator muzak, right? You know it's there, but you're not paying that much attention to it until Christmas Day, which is when you get to showcase. But to have your three faces of the league be on bad to average teams is not a good sign for the NBA. And it's hard to see either one of those teams making any deep run in the playoffs and certainly not an NBA Finals appearance.
Well, the best of those three teams is the Lakers, which probably says everything you need to know. The Warriors are pretty dreadful. I can't see the Warriors being a threat to even make the play-in at this point, the way that they've been playing. And the Suns are very similar. One of those two will probably be like a 10 seed or something. The Lakers, if they had won yesterday, January 7 against the Mavericks, would at least be, I think, maybe even the 4 spot. They should maybe even make the main field if they can play consistently well, but obviously best they can do is second round. For the NBA, it's going to be tough because, you know, people are talking about OKC Memphis in the conference finals, OKC, Houston, these are not going to do well in the ratings, right? Boston, Cleveland might, because it might be a great series if the Knicks can make it somehow, you know, but a lot is riding on the Knicks because we now know the Celtics are not going to be enough. So a lot is riding on the Knicks, who have that Detroit Lions aspect to them because they've been bad for so long. But we will see how that goes with the NBA because, probably going to be down for the season. They'll get a big pop on MLK Day, because last year did horribly because of the unexpected NFL game. They'll get a big pop, maybe even a triple digit one for all we know, because they got Celtics Warriors in one of those windows. But this will just have to be a year for the NBA where the big milestone nights, opening night, Christmas, MLK Day, all do well. And the rest of it, just, you know, you kind of write off. It is, after all, hey, you want to talk about lame ducks? This is a lame duck season for the NBA entering that new TV deal. All right, let's wrap up talking about, as we mentioned earlier, the venue circumstance with Disney. Disney basically kind of buying their way out of that lawsuit with Fubo, merging Hulu with live TV with Fubo, And as a result, Fubo dropping its legal challenge of the Venue streaming service. We don't know yet when Venue will launch, but now there is nothing stopping Venue from launching. This is a very interesting thing. One, it kind of relates to the broader political environment, because we know as much as 45/47 hates the mainstream media, we also know his party hates regulating media. And so we're going to see a lot of these kind of mergers that we didn't see with 46, because 46 had Lena Khan, but Lena Khan is gone, right? So we're going to see a lot more mergers, a lot less attention paid to, you know, things that maybe reduce the number of options for people and leave people with, well, I can go watch this Disney streaming service, or I can watch this Disney streaming service, or I can watch this Disney streaming service. That's kind of what the future holds. There's going to be a whole lot of options that are all owned by the same company.
John, I'll lean on you a little bit in this quest for this question. There was some talk that Venue was looking to be sort of debut in time for the Super Bowl.
I did see something like that. I think that would be a great time to launch Venue, because obviously the Super Bowl is on Fox and that would be part of Venue. I think that would be a really smart time to launch. I think they could try to launch in time for the CFP, but the CFP is not the Super Bowl. One, and two, that is pretty quick. But I mean, if you can get that up for the Super Bowl, which is a month from tomorrow, January 9, I mean, that's perfect in my view.
This is so interesting, like, as you said, for so many reasons, but I keep going back to ESPN launching its flagship subscription product coming up in the fall. And I'm just, you know, it feels like, John, we're all just sort of finding our way through this new streaming world where we're paying for these sort of individual networks or these individual sporting events or these individual products. And I'm just trying to figure out, what does it mean for the fan? Like, what are fans to do? There was, at the time, before the lawsuit and everything came down, I think the talk was $42.99 a month. That was a number that was thrown out there. What does it mean for the fans? What are we paying for now, John, with Netflix having its slate of NFL and Amazon Prime, that relationship being very strong from everything that we've seen as they wrap up year number three of Thursday Night Football? What does it mean for the fans and how fans are going to be chasing down these sporting events from all these different sources and different streamers?
It's still better financially than cable was at the end, because, you know, none of this, I mean, if you want to watch everything, then you're going to have a problem, right? And when I say everything, I mean all the way down to things like Overnight, which carries like really obscure college sports, right? So to me, no one's going to watch everything. But obviously, you know, if you want to get, you know, the full allotment of live sports, then it might get to triple digits. But the reality is that it's still, in my view, a better deal than signing a contract with Comcast, having to store their equipment in your home, and then paying them for, you know, not just your service, but all of these ridiculous fees. I still think it's better than that. Having said all of that, it is increasingly less of a bargain than it was, and it is extremely complicated. It's way more complicated than cable was. So, I mean, the names are all so ridiculous. If you're not closely following it, it's going to seem like gibberish. You're going from, oh, you got to get Venue, you got to get Fubo. You know, we know what these things are, but someone who is 75 years old and used to ABC, NBC, and CBS doesn't know what these things are.
It is an interesting time. I'm thinking about my parents, because they went without on Christmas Day because they didn't have Netflix. As you said, the only thing I can think of, you're really going to have, as a sports fan, you're going to have to prioritize what matters to you. You're going to have to prioritize what you want to watch. You're going to have to prioritize which sports are most important for you. And it's possible that if those other sports are not as important to you as, you know, that top two or three or four, you're going to have to be willing to really reconsider how you watch sports. I mean, before our very eyes, the landscape is changing, and the consumer's going to have to make some choices that we never had to make before.
Realistically, that's how a lot of us grew up watching sports, certainly in the 90s. We didn't watch everything. You know, I mean, for me, I remember in 1998, I got a piece of paper, a laminated piece of paper that had the NBA schedule on it, right? Because that's how you found that stuff out. It's like, oh, okay, well, what is TNT, right? You know, I mean, realistically, in the 90s, the reason, one of the main reasons why NBA and NBC or the game of the week in baseball did so well was because most people weren't watching on cable. They, you know, that was the game of the week. And it wasn't just the game of the week. It was the only game you got in the week. And so we're kind of just returning to the way it was. I mean, we were not built to follow every single solitary sporting event as it happens. We weren't built for that. Now, speaking of which, let me just sneak in a quick comment. The college gymnastics season started last week, and Olympians Jordan Shiles and Jade Carey were both in action, and you could not watch it. They were in neutral site meets that were not streamed or televised. This is amazing. There's no other collegiate sport with that level of star power has any events that are not able to watch. You could have watched men's college volleyball, a sport most people don't know exists, last weekend, and you could not watch. Well, no, you could, because the UCLA, the players recorded the meet live on their phones and streamed it to Instagram. And so you could watch live a little tiny pixel of Jordan Shiles competing in her first meet after the Olympics, recorded by one of her teammates. I mean, this is absurd. I can't believe there's any sport like that.
How does that happen in 2025, John? Please tell me.
Really good. Well, it happens because Flow Sports, which is one of the streamers that used to pick up those events, is persona non grata in the gymnastics world for a whole controversy that's I'm not going to get into now, but they don't have any meets on Flow Sports, and ESPN isn't going to pick up some neutral site meet in Oceanside, California. The other thing, too, is where are these meets being held? I mean, who's in charge of deciding? When you know where the first meet for Jordan Shiles and Jade Carey should have been this season? Madison Square Garden. Oh, my goodness gracious. It is just ridiculous that that happened.
John, I don't know. I don't know how that happens. Not in this environment, in this media environment. I don't know how that happens. No.
Well, that's how we'll leave it for this week. The podcast is back and hopefully back on a weekly basis. I'll level with all of our listeners here. This is the third time I'm recording with Armand, and hopefully the third time will be the charm, and this one will actually be uploaded for everybody else to hear as well. Thank you to Armand for joining the pod, and thank you for listening. And hopefully this is the first of many SMW podcast episodes in 2025.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.